by day my life gets colder. My eyes grow thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. To start my show, I always like to start by listing the methods of genocide taking place in the U.S. First and foremost, and this is the topic we'll talk about today, is geoengineering, and followed by the forced vaccination of children with poisonous vaccines that include mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and tissue from aborted babies. Another method of genocide is the prescribing of mind and body damaging drugs to people of all ages, along with the medical care in the U.S. that causes diseases but does not cure any. And finally, we are being killed and injured by the toxic and chemical-laced GMO food sold in grocery stores to families all over the U.S. and through the poisoned drinking water. My guest today is the top expert in the world on chemtrails and geoengineering, Dane Wigington. He is a legend to the cause and a real hero to me. He is a lead researcher for Geoengineering Watch and has investigated all levels of geoengineering from stratospheric aerosol geoengineering to HAARP. He has appeared in countless films and radio interviews to explain the danger we face on a global level from geoengineering. I posted many of Dane's interviews on my Facebook page for people who want to review his presentations. We need to wake people up on this issue. I know this better than most people because I live on the Internet due to my investigative journalistic work, and I didn't even know about this issue until about 11 months ago. And so I want to welcome Dane to Focus on the Facts so he can explain this issue to the listeners. Good afternoon, Dane.
Hi, Evie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. As good as one can be when one wakes up every day into the asylum that we all live in, but such is the case, and if, with all the challenges we face, this one is the one we must deal with. This is the one that should be our top priority if we're to salvage anything, and that's why I focused all on this issue, because mathematically speaking, it's the greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, period.
If we don't stop this, this generation is going to be last, isn't it, Dane?
Mathematically speaking, all frontline scientists, and when I say frontline, I mean the front line. Methane scientists, there's an aeronautics engineer I'm working with right now, a 40-year veteran, worked for NASA, and he's working directly for us at geoengineeringwatch.org now with the UV situation. The ozone layer is being completely disintegrated from climate engineering, and that issue alone, the timeline he has given us to our attorney group, this is on a conference call from last week. Mathematically speaking, if the current rate of ozone destruction continues, there will be no complex life forms on the planet in a decade. So
right.
Try to get your arms around that. This is from a NASA employee, and that's not counting the methane expulsion, not counting the hydrogen sulfide, biosphere collapse. Again, and there's many causes. I don't want for your listeners, I'm not inferring that the only problem we have is climate engineering. Not at all. The human race has been horrible stewards of the planet. What I'm saying is that, mathematically speaking, by far the most destructive force that's systematically tearing apart Earth's life support systems right now is climate engineering, and it's tearing them apart from countless directions. We can go into that to whatever degree you want.
Right. I listen to you. You know, I listen to your presentation, and you are so good. You really are a hero to me, and I worry about you. I'm not kidding, because you know, nowadays, anybody that speaks out against the elite or what they're doing to us and everything gets murdered. And they get away with this. They're just murdering off scientists, murdering off whoever speaks the truth. You know, and now when I watch your presentations, I get really worried about you, Dane. I really do.
Well,
because,
I
are the top expert, and you are the one that has been leading this. I'm probably paranoid, but I'm worried about you. I really am.
I don't take that for granted, and certainly we do see what you describe happening. In this case, with this issue, there's two elements that I hope would make a difference here. And no matter what the case, I have to do what I'm doing. I can't not do this. But I believe we have a great many allies behind the curtain, people in the
behind
system
the curtain.
Who know
okay.
this is going on and who desperately right. want it to be exposed and stopped. And again, when I had a contact from an Air Force general who went to the effort to find and reach me, it's been almost a year ago now, that was proof to me that we have good people in the U.S. military that do not know about these programs, do not know what they're a part of, and they're waking up to that fact now. And so I believe that, again, we have allies behind the curtain that want to get this word out, so we're not alone in the fight. And also, I've never taken my oath to the power structure, ever. Every single military person, every single government scientist, every agency person, every politician, all takes their oath to the power structure in the form of non-disclosure agreements. I've never done that, ever. I've walked away from Bechtel Power when I was very young, a very high-paying job, because I did not want to become what I saw around me. And I've never worked for anyone since because I did not want to be forced into such an environment. So, you know, perhaps that makes a difference too. But in any case, I want to assure all your listeners that because we have a lot of people that don't want to speak out, and maybe there's some agency people or military people even listening right now, none of us are safe. None of us. And if we think that hiding in our cabin on the deck of the Titanic, an example I often use, if we think that that's going to save us from a ship that's sinking, it won't. It won't. The ship is going down, period. We're all at the end of the plank, period. We all have to step forward and make our voice heard now, period. And time is not on our side. The gravity and the immediacy of our situation, so few people yet grasp, giving. So few.
Right. And, you know, isn't it scary that someone like me, that researches on the Internet since 2003, when I became an investigative journalist, you know, researches all this stuff, and that I didn't even know about this? You know, and I'm going to tell you, today when I was writing up, you know, trying to write up a summary and stuff, you know, it's so complicated, you know, this topic, that I think, I don't know why I would have swayed away from it, why I didn't see this or hear about this. But, I mean, they block all your everything. You know, the media never talks about this, ever. You know,
on that note, I'll have
a
post up, hopefully tomorrow. The Northern California newspaper, primary newspaper, The Record Searchlight, is a stunning, stellar example of what you're talking about. So they have completely blacked out major Northern California events in the last 2 years on this issue. Events that had 1,000-plus people from the community and from all over the country here.
Right.
An event that had, this is in 2015, that had former government scientists, including U.S. Forest Service and Fish and Game, military personnel, CEO from the world's largest environmental and engineering consulting firm, huge event, had even ABC News come from Sacramento, but our local newspaper here would not cover the event. Total blackout. And just this morning, you know, and they blacked us out again, we had the big VAX event with climate engineering issue also. We had former CIA officer at that event speaking about climate engineering and vaccinations and the government's attempt to cover up the truth. Total blackout of the event again. This is our primary Northern California newspaper, The Record Searchlight. And so now, just as of today, our attorney's team wrote, because I submitted, have you seen this big disinformation piece that's circling around, Evelyn, that says scientists interviewed say chemtrails is not real? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's, since we filed the lawsuit, or the commencement of legal action, the 60-day notice, which is not the suit yet, but it's the preliminary notice, that's when this pushback came out. So the Searchlight publicized this, and for your listeners that don't know about this, in case they see this, let's dissect that. Can I dissect that for a moment,
sure.
Evelyn?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So here we have this headline that says 98% of scientists say chemtrails aren't real. First, there was 450 scientists interviewed, not 78 or 77, as this report claimed. So of the 450, only 77 responded. The others refused to participate. So now we're down to 16% that even were willing to participate, which was not disclosed. these scientists weren't asked about geoengineering, climate engineering. They were asked about chemtrails. And, of course, their statement is, no, not happening. What do we think they're going to say? Yes, it's happening. Yes, right. The government who I work for is intentionally trying to kill us all. Do we really think they're going to say that? Now, because that's how they frame this. Like, this is not about climate engineering. The paper framed it as if this is just some intentional effort to poison the planet, which we've never made such a statement. We're simply saying this is climate engineering that's highly toxic. The effect is the same. It is toxifying all of us, but it's still climate engineering, solar radiation management. But they don't ask those questions of these scientists. And so the Northern California newspaper published a big hit piece because of this bogus disinformation article, and they clearly attacked me in it through the whole way through, and now they, as of this morning, won't allow me to even respond to their attack piece on me. So they're basically stating, we decide what our readers see, and we decide what they don't see.
Isn't that the editor that told you that one time?
They're telling us the same thing again right now. Our attorneys wrote them this morning and said, are you going to publicize this? It meets all the requirements, and they're saying, nope. So it's total censorship. It's total censorship. And we published, actually, I'm not sure if I sent you, for your readers, Evelyn, if they go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look under the recent column, and they'll find an article that two spaces down, I believe. In fact, and I'll ship it to you in an email here, that completely dissects this baseless, factless, quote, study on, quote, chemtrails, which, again, we're talking about climate engineering. And there's no basis to this study at all. It's simply asking the opinions of scientists who can't say anything but, no, it's not happening, because there's a federal gag order, by the way, for your listeners that don't know. There's a federal gag order.
Yeah, tell my listeners about that. Yeah.
So,
tell them about that gag order.
So why would we expect them to say anything but, no, it's not happening? And even then, the vast majority, 84%, did not even respond to the study. So the disinformation effort right now is huge. And on that note, because they can't hide this much longer, recent headlines as of 2 days ago, now we have this headline. You're familiar with The Guardian, Evelyn?
Yes.
So The Guardian has just published that we may have an ice-free Arctic next year. I would argue it may happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, it'll happen next year. The ramifications are grave, incredibly grave. And climate engineering has made that situation worse, not better. In their attempt to hide the problem, they've radically exacerbated the problem and poisoned the entire planet with it. And, you know, whatever the intent, that's the result. So, again, we're facing headlines, and you see the weather cataclysms happening everywhere, yes?
Right.
So, and what's important for your listeners to understand is those, although we can't call any weather natural at this point because the entire system is horribly tainted, that even when we stop climate engineering, and we will at some point, it will collapse along with society at worst, and hopefully we can stop climate engineering sooner, but the planet is in what appears to be a runaway greenhouse event right now. So even when climate engineering stops, for example, although we can say certain events like Louisiana had a direct connection to climate engineering. That flooding, absolutely, the pressure gradient that stayed over that area and the manner in which that meteorologically unfolded, we can really attribute to a climate intervention connection. But they're suppressing hurricanes. Evelyn, have you taken note that we're now 11 years into a major hurricane impact drought in the U.S.? 11 years, haven't had a major impact. Did you know that?
Yeah, I listened to your presentations, and that didn't stand out in my mind until you brought it up. That, yes, that's amazing.
Isn't it? Especially
when
the rest of the world is being hammered with all-time record cyclones, just torn to bits everywhere, from the Philippines to Japan and China, but nothing here. Nothing spins.
Right.
Nothing rotates in the Gulf of Mexico. Nothing. Because they're suppressing all cyclonic rotation. So what I'm getting at is that there'll be horrific weather backlash, even when, and in some ways, because of the pressure built up in the system, especially when climate engineering has stopped, there'll be a tremendous response from the planet. But that's because the planet has been suppressed from cooling itself for so long, especially in the Atlantic Basin, that there will be violent weather without climate engineering, very violent, because of the planet's effort to respond. But
trying to save itself.
Yes, exactly. And climate engineering has thwarted that effort. In the meantime, again, we can only call climate engineering weather warfare, Evelyn. That's all. It's weather warfare, right. And it's biological warfare as well.
Right. And, you know, I sit here, and I was listening to one of your presentations. You talked about how the portions of the Pacific are heating up so much, and if they heat up, they're supposed to, an article I think you read from a scientist or something said they're supposed to heat up, could heat up 10 degrees by 2025, and you said that they've heated up 3 degrees already, and if it gets 10 degrees, that we can't exist?
Okay, you're retaining a lot of this data, and that's good. You know, we hope more people do that because it's important. So here's where we're at. You've probably heard, and your listeners may have heard, that, you know, this, like, for example, the Paris Conference and Copenhagen and Cancun, and they're shooting for staying under a 2-degree C temperature rise.
Right.
And, you know, that's simply, all of that data right now is simply fictitious and an attempt to cover up how bad it already is, an attempt to give people the impression that this is somehow under control, which it's not. So the statistics show right now that we are likely past 3.5 degrees C of warming. So that's about 6.5 degrees,
right,
from baseline, which is pre-industrial. So if we're at that point, that means we're already past the baseline on which humans have existed on this planet. We're already past that right now, because we know they're falsifying temperatures 4 and 5 degrees everywhere we check. The official reading is typically 4 and 5 degrees less than the actual reading on the ground. So if we have an additional 7 to 8 degrees C of temperature rise in the next decade, and that's the mathematical trajectory we're on, we're talking about 20 degrees Fahrenheit of warming. No complex organisms can survive on the planet at those temperatures. Can't happen. So that's how severe our situation is. That's how immediate it is. Yes, it is mathematically looking at about 2025, 2026 to reach that point. That doesn't mean everything goes on fine to that point. It means that we have huge problems that are here now, kicking in the door right now.
Right. So, do you think they've turned up this chemtrails? Do you think they've turned up this geoengineering in the last, say, maybe decade?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, ramped it up to higher levels?
Right.
Yes. We saw a big ramp up in 99, huge ramp up then, because we had the warmest year ever recorded, and they, you know, even though they've been doing it for 50-plus years prior to that, the effect, geoengineering had a cooling effect initially. They started this, for your listeners, we know these programs were ramped up in about 1945, right after the war, and we don't know, as researchers, if it was a statistical cooling or if the actual cooling was as profound as it is shown, because the warming temperatures right after 1945 leveled off until about 1975, till the science community couldn't figure out what was going on, because climate engineering had an initial cooling effect, it appears, statistically, but the negative aspects had not yet kicked in. Ozone destruction, droughting out of forests, more carbon release, a lot of effects that didn't show up at first. So as that began to happen, they doubled down. They just ramped the programs up again and again and again, even though the negative effects are unimaginably outweighing any perceived positive, which there really is none. But so in 98, you heard the term climate change, right, Evelyn?
Right.
So people ask about that term. Where did that come from? It came in 98 after they knew they were going to ramp these programs up so much they would be causing radical anomalies, radical cool downs after record heat and so forth. So they had to have a term that would make people accept that as being, quote, normal or natural, just a part of the process. So they switched to climate change. So big ramp up in 98, big one in 06, 07 when the Arctic ice almost crashed in 07, and then another big one in 2012 when it almost crashed again. So yes, you're correct. A number of ramp ups along the way. And so now it's at a point where it's just everywhere, almost all day, every day.
Now, this is causing a lot of illnesses, isn't it? I mean, people don't realize this. I certainly didn't. But
yes. Sorry, go ahead. You go first.
Well, I said that this is causing a lot of illnesses in people. And then I was listening to one of your presentations, and you had an email or a letter from someone in Africa that they must be going nuts over there, how much bad they're spraying, and everybody's sick?
Yes, exactly right. And for those who think that we're speculating or hypothesizing or theorizing, that's not the case. We have lab tests to prove these metals are coming down in the air column, the breathable air column, and we know the effects of these metals. And we see that direct correlation between what's happening with respiratory ailments, illness, and so forth, a direct correlation. It can't not happen. It can't not be connected. It is connected. There's no question
about
that.
Tell my listeners what they're spraying on us. A lot of them probably don't know.
Well,
what are
primary
they
elements,
with?
Again, toxic heavy metals, aluminum, barium, manganese. And why would they use aluminum? Many people ask that. Because, and you can see this right from the geoengineer's mouth, David Keith, who was part of this disinformation article that just came out. In fact, if your listeners search, if they don't find that article that I mentioned on this debunking this this disinformation article, if they just search Dane Wigington, David Keith, they'll find a five-minute video that shows clearly this geoengineer talking about the goal of putting 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates in the atmosphere annually, 20 million tons a year. That's an inconceivable amount of toxic metal particulates because aluminum is beneficial for their purposes if you don't care about the consequences. And their purposes are to reflect sunlight. So aluminum has a high albedo, high reflectivity, low coagulation rate, means the particles don't clump together very much. And so aluminum works good for their little experiment, but it kills everything on the ground, period, and,
right.
and destroys, again, the protective layers of the atmosphere, disrupts the hydrological cycle. So we're talking about heavy metals, chemicals, polymers, all highly toxic, all coming down in the air column.
Right, right. And I was so glad that to see you teamed up with the VAX crew, because those two things go together, too. I mean, what they're injecting into, well, our children, and now they're trying to even make it mandatory in different states for adults to get all these vaccines, forcing people to get these. But there's aluminum and mercury, things in this vaccine. How does that fit in with this geoengineering? Then we're taking more aluminum in.
It fits completely with this. And, yes, as far as the VAX people, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and we have Polly Tommy and Del Bigtree, and I was very honored to connect with all three of them. I mean, these are exceptional human beings that have devoted their life to the common good. Sherry Tippin
like you,
as well.
Like you.
Well, yeah, I just feel I'm doing my job, you know. I'm trying to be a good father, a good human being. And I was very honored to be in their company. I really was. And I'll have some interviews out soon that I did with each of them backstage. But exceptional human beings. And then Andrew Wakefield has paid such a high price. But these issues are, they belong connected because the same toxic metals we see, again, in the atmospheric spraying are in the vaccinations, and these metals are synergistically toxic. When they blend together, the overall toxicity goes through the roof. So we have thimerosal, mercury in vaccinations, and we have certainly a majority content of aluminum coming down in the air column, and those two metals combined, and they're all, both metals are in all of us now. There's no question. The combination of those two metals we do have peer-reviewed study on, and it can increase the overall toxicity by as much as 100 times, 10,000% worse than each would be separately.
Yeah.
So these issues are, they both connect, and they're both lethal, and we have to bring these issues to light, period.
Well, in this geoengineering stuff, too, this is dumbing everybody down, isn't it?
IQs are going down. That's a mathematical, statistical, peer-reviewed, proven fact. IQs are dropping rather radically. So, again, we're back to the point where people have a lot of different things they're focusing on, but I would argue if you're not focused on this, you're on the wrong track because whatever other problems we face, and there are many, I acknowledge that, but if we can't think clearly, that's the end of the road.
Yep.
And we're all losing our cognitive ability right now.
Right. And, you know, and today when I was writing up the summary and I was thinking when I said, you know, this really applies to me, how I didn't even know about this till 11 months ago. My God, now, you know, since I learned about it, I've been researching it ever since, and I realized that you're right. If this doesn't stop, this Earth is done. And it's scary to me to think I didn't even know about it 11 months ago, to realize how many other people don't know about it. And they don't understand that if this isn't stopped, like you said, nothing else matters, whatever they do, because we're not going to be here. And I'm like,
we're not.
You,
that's a,
you
that's
know,
a
I've
mathematical
lived
fact.
A long life. I've lived fine, you know. I would be ready to cash out. But the children and the grandchildren, you know, when people don't learn about the vaccines, they don't learn about this geoengineering, they're not taking the time to save their own children and grandchildren's life.
That's perplexing. Certainly it's perplexing.
It is.
I've made that point many times. How can anyone call themselves a caring parent if they don't face this issue and the vaccination issue as well? But, you know, if we can't breathe, you can hide from a vaccination to some degree still if you homeschool, but you can't hide from needing air to breathe. So
no.
This is where if I can make a comparison, again, I mentioned Venus syndrome, and that's the trajectory that we're on. So many people assume that Venus is, I use this example often, but it's a clear one, so it's effective. The majority of the public thinks Venus is 900 degrees on the surface because of its proximity to the sun, and that's not true. Venus is a sister planet to Earth. It's now felt in the latest data that Venus was compatible with life before it underwent a runaway greenhouse effect. All things being equal, Venus would be about 20 degrees warmer than Earth because of its proximity to the sun. That 20 degrees we already talked about, we're about to pass that in the next decade here. And once that triggers a runaway greenhouse effect, which has happened on Venus, so the oceans are in the atmosphere now. The atmosphere is 100 times more dense than Earth. The sun's thermal energy comes in, but it doesn't leave. It stays there, just like it would in a greenhouse. That's why it's called the runaway greenhouse effect. So that's the trajectory that we're on right now. That's exactly the trajectory. And so if we don't get off that trajectory, this planet will resemble Venus in the geologic blink of an eye. That's how severe our situation is. And for those that don't believe that, and I realize there are many that don't because of their disdain for people like Al Gore, which I understand, and I always make it clear I don't like Al Gore either, and carbon credits are a sham. But it doesn't change reality. It does not change reality. And anybody who looks at frontline data, the planet is in total meltdown. We have algae blooms happening everywhere because the oceans are scaldingly warm. We have temperatures several days ago in the Arctic, Evelyn, Arctic Ocean, 25 degrees above normal. 25 degrees.
Now, did I see it? Did I see a news article or something about they're booking cruises to the Arctic or something like this?
Yeah, you did. You did. So here,
I did.
Here we have, how atrocious is that, that we have now class of affluent people, and I'm not, maybe there's some decent ones in the bunch, but now paying to, like a circus act, go up to the Arctic and watch it implode on a cruise ship going through the Northern Passage. And by the way, cruise ships are responsible for dumping over 1 billion gallons of waste into the ocean every year. 1 billion, with a B. They dump everything overboard, just like the U.S. military, just like all militaries. The ocean's a giant toilet. So now they're going to go up the Arctic, try to sail through, and watch the planet's life support systems disintegrating, paying the tickets for that cruise were from $22,000 to $120,000 each.
So for the very rich. Could
very, very rich. So,
well, they deserve to drown up there.
Well, you know, maybe they'll hit something and go down up there. But it's truly a testimony of a very twisted society that this is now some sort of a carnival show to watch the planet implode and sailing up there in a cruise ship and making it worse at the same time.
Yeah.
And why can't those people put their money to some sort of productive use of exposing what's going on and having some chance of saving something for our children?
Right, right. You know, I know most people, a lot of people ask you this, and I know you've answered. What are the rich going to do? The elite cabal that's doing this to the whole world. How are they going to live?
They won't. It's that simple. They'll live underground for a while, and they have
really.
They have dumbs, the deep underground military bases. They exist. We have photos of the entrances. We know they've stocked them up with freeze-dried foods. We've spoken to some of the manufacturers that were offline retail for a while because they were stocking up these bunkers. But
right.
We're not dealing with sanity. We're not dealing with sanity. Okay. It's that simple.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of these people even know what's really happening. I mean, that are members of this elite.
Many are not clear. Again, there's various parts of the cancer, if you will, and some parts don't know how bad the total scenario is. But they're starting to find out fairly quickly, and there's things that can't be hidden much longer. Again, if we have an ice-free Arctic this year, you can't hide that. If you can't hide that, can't hide climate engineering. If you can't hide climate engineering, we're about ready to turn the whole paradigm over, because the populations around the globe, once they find out this has been done, the game changes right then.
Well, I have noticed in the last several months that more people seem to be waking up all over the world.
They are. We need to speed that process, because we need to beat the power structure to the intersection in regard to the population waking up before they're ready for that to happen.
Well, you know, Dane does a weekly radio show on Saturday morning, and I'll tell you what, Dane, that's kind of like church for me. Okay, like all week I sit here researching and all these different things on this genocide that I call it genocide. I don't care what anybody else wants to call it. They're killing us all on purpose. That all the other methods of genocide and stuff that I research and everything. And by the end of the week, I'm telling you, it's just like I can't keep doing this. I keep exposing it and everything, trying to get the word out. But it's like nobody can stop this. This is just a useless effort and everything. And I'm starting to feel the effects, like, off and on now. I feel real tired again, you know, and I'm changed my whole way of living, you know, eating, filter my water, do no microwaves, all the kind of things that I've learned to do to be better health, you know. But this week now, off and on, I feel tired, physically tired, not sleepy, just physically tired, like it's an effort to move, okay. And this is how I got 11 months ago when I discovered this. I mean, I was almost like a vegetable. And anyhow, that worries me, because then I know that they have speeded up this dumping, you know, that it's affecting me like this, even though that I'm guarding in every way against it, you know.
The human body is with the case of much of nature, most of nature is incredibly resilient. But
right.
When the breaking point is reached, it can happen very quickly. And all of us have been exposed to these toxins for so long that, you know, it's a wonder any of us are standing, truly. Now, let's add radio frequency transmissions to this, because we're all being microwaved now, literally.
Well, let me just finish this, though. I did.
Sure.
I was got rambling away, and I didn't finish this. But
oh,
your
sorry.
Show every Saturday I listen to, and the week before last it wasn't on, and it killed me. It rejuvenates me, because I listen to you, and it's like, yes, there is hope. You just keep fighting, you know, fight with these other people. You know, but once a week you rejuvenate me, Dane, on your show.
Well, take credit for that yourself, too, Evelyn. In that, you know, you're wired in a way that makes you care. And you can't make someone care. No matter what I say, no matter what I share, no matter what I present, can't make someone care. And you can thank yourself for the fact that you care. And that caring matters in ways that, again, none of us can really completely know yet. But people sense that sincere regard for what's right, for life, and for all that matters. And so, you know, when you share that caring with others, you know, it's evident to them, even if they're uncomfortable going to that place themselves yet, the fact that you mm-hmm. do care, it is planting seeds, period. And so I'm just trying to do my part, and I know you're trying to do yours, and I think the undercurrent of awareness is far greater than any of us know yet. So we just need to reach that 100th monkey and everyone to reach a point where they can't hide from this any longer. And we are reaching that point. And these cataclysmic events that are happening are forcing people to wake up. So the more seeds we plant, again, that they'll have the dots they need to connect to form a clear picture. But I apologize for that missing show. We had that was the day after mm-hmm. the big Reading event,
right.
And we filmed CIA officer Kevin Shipp in the radio studio with me. And the videographer just hasn't processed that yet. I apologize. But that will come.
Well, no, that wasn't your fault. I did hear your explanation of that. No, that wasn't your fault. But I'm just telling you how much I look forward to it. And afterwards, I just really feel like fighting again. You know?
That makes it worthwhile for me to do, Evelyn. I very much appreciate you sharing that with me. It means a great deal. And sometimes people say to me, why are you doing this? You know, it doesn't matter. You're not changing anything. And when I hear... If you were the only person in the whole world I heard that from, it would make it all worthwhile to me. Just knowing it, if it made a difference to one person, and I know it makes a difference with you and with me and with everybody else that's pulling together and doing our part. I think the difference will very soon be clear. It's much more profound than we know, because this is what it's about. If it's not about fighting for the greater good, what's it about? Why are we here? if this isn't why we're here, there wouldn't be much purpose to this. And we find ourselves at the most compelling time in human history ever. This is the crossroads where we decide whether we will continue as a species or be erased from the face of the earth. That's the time we're at.
Right, right. Now, you know, when this starts hitting us, what will happen to us? When the heat gets up there so high and whatever, what will happen to us?
Well, you trigger feedback loops, and they're already triggered. We think there's 50 to 60 already triggered. So what happens is, for example, let's take climate engineering's effect on the forests burning down. How is climate engineering connected? In fact, climate engineering is the single greatest causal factor in the massive burn downs of forests all over the globe. And I say that with mathematical certainty. So we know that climate engineering has disrupted the hydrological cycle. It's basically thwarting the planet's ability to ramp up the hydrological cycle because you're blocking direct sunlight. That's a major component in evaporation. You need light photons to break molecules loose on water to cause evaporation. It's changing convection, also connected to evaporation. It's slowing down wind overall. And I know there's still heavy winds in areas. I'm saying overall. So people need to not think dichotomously. It's not just all this or that. But overall, global wind is diminishing, not increasing, because you have this canopy that slows down convection, and convection is part of what causes wind. So that slows down evaporation. So we're back to less rain for the forests. The rain that falls is toxic. Now we have a shredded ozone layer, so the trees are cooking from above. We have an incendiary dust. These metals are incendiaries that coats the foliage. So we have the trees dying from the root system up, from the top down. They're burning like they're soaked in napalm. Right. Now all that carbon goes into the atmosphere, along with a lot of black soot. So you have an increase in the greenhouse effect, which increases the warming even more. You have soot settling down in the ice, which makes it dark and melt faster. And as that happens, you have more ocean exposed, more land exposed, which is darker, yet more fast warming. Everything starts to feed on itself. As the soils and the oceans warm, you have formerly frozen methane deposits thawing, methane going into the atmosphere. Methane's over a 10-year time horizon, 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. So all of these things, one triggering another, starts to fuel a runaway greenhouse effect. So that's why the immediacy of it, again, it's happening right now. It's not going to happen. It's happening right now.
Happening, right. And when we talk about, you know, when we talk about the short amount of time that things can happen.
If we stay on this course.
Right.
I want to stress that because we're in uncharted territory, completely uncharted territory. What would happen if we shut everything down, all industrialized destruction, starting with stopping geoengineering? What would happen? There's so much we can't know. But we do know this. We do know life is, as I said earlier, unimaginably tenacious. If you give life a chance, it will survive. Right. We have to give it a chance and hope for the best.
Right. Yeah, I want to encourage everyone to go to Geoengineering Watch because Dane has, you know, his website just has all the information that you ever want to find on this and all his presentations and everything. You are the best presenter, I'll tell you, Dane, that, you know, you can get these points across because it's so complicated to people. It was to me and it still is. That's where I really enjoy having you on. I'm so glad that you took the time to come on because I know you are really busy. Let's
well,
talk
I can
a little
share,
bit. How,
just you know,
go ahead.
To send something back at you, Evelyn, is that from my interaction with you, you know, you have a level of honesty, and you know what I'm talking about. That you know is very unusual in my world, and I greatly appreciate that in you with your being willing to call things as they are in certain circumstances, and you know what those circumstances are. And I hold you in highest regard for that, and it's an honor to be here with you.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I call a spade a spade, and I always tell people you don't ever have to worry if I'm upset with you or things like this. Don't look at me and be wondering if I'm upset with you. I will tell you. You know, I tell things like they are. I'm brutally honest. You know, and I wish people would be like that with me. I just like it that way, you know, that people need to hear the truth, you know. And what I do, my investigative journalism and the way I share everything on Facebook and Twitter and everything, what I do is go around and spend all my time finding articles and presentations and things that the mainstream media is hiding. So my Facebook friends that are limited to that, I look for things that they're not going to find the truth about, you know, that's suppressed or distorted or whatever. And that's what I share on Facebook. And my friends share that too, you know, and that's a way of getting everything out. And this geoengineering, now, this is my main, I have three causes. It's the geoengineering, the vaccines, and the pedophile network run in this world. And those are my three causes that I stay focused on right now. And so the geoengineering is the top. Because once I learned about it through you and investigate everything on your website and then research myself, yes, this is the worst. If we don't stop this, the game's over. Doesn't matter about nothing else. Doesn't matter about the wars. They're killing everybody all over the globe. It doesn't matter about anything else. If we don't stop this, the game is over in my mind.
Now, you do research, and that's imperative. You know, you actually try to connect the dots, and that involves looking at the dots. And I encourage people to do that because there's a lot of disinformation floating around that if a lot of people, unfortunately, will look at a headline and think it relates to the issue or think it's accurate just because it's someone supposedly fighting against climate engineering, and they'll post that headline without reading it, without understanding it, and that can be horribly discrediting for us. We need to unite the tribes. We need to have the anti-geoengineering community put out credible data so that the academic community isn't afraid to come anywhere near us. And so when people post, for example, there's a lot of global cooling things going around right now because people feel, and I've talked to some very intelligent people who, when it came right down to it, they hated Al Gore so much that they wanted to take a contrary position to everything Al Gore said, and that's not rational. Not rational at all. So we have to look at the world for what it is. So, you know, to post something about global cooling when the planet is in total meltdown and climate engineering is making it worse, why would an anti-geoengineering activist post exactly the narrative that the geoengineers want them to post? What does that mean? Geoengineering is working because the planet's cooling? The planet's not cooling. Geoengineering's not working. It's fueling the fire. So it's important to post accurate data. And, for example, I've seen a post from one supposedly independent news source that claims cooling towers are pumping all the moisture in the atmosphere that's causing all this rain. I mean, headlines like that couldn't be more off base. It's utterly and totally absurd. And I've worked on cooling towers, by the way, for Bechtel Power, and anybody can do this math. A cooling tower, it looks like a lot of steam rising up, okay, but the amount of water that creates that steam is very, very small in comparison with what it takes to create a storm. I mean, we're talking about a fraction so small that you couldn't water a football field with it, literally. So, but it looks impressive to people. They see a lot of steam going up, and there's certain sites claiming that that's where all the water's coming from. And I'm just saying things like that. You can't just leap at anything that comes along. You have to look into it. You have to think about it and try to do the math on it so that you're putting up credible data. And that's important. It's important for us to look credible to the academic community so that our ship is watertight. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know what's funny when you say, you know, I research and everything, and you know, I research so fast and stuff, and I see headlines all the time, you know. And it's funny because I've seen that headline about all the scientists say, you know, chemtrails is false or something like that. And I've seen the headline, you know, but I didn't go and look at it because I knew it was just bullshit. And so I didn't even go and bother looking at it. But I wish I would have now because, see, I've research studies so much when I'm covering the pharmaceutical industry that I would have noticed that right away. 400 some scientists, but only 78 would even respond, and that's excellent because that tells me, yeah, the other ones know it's true, and they're not willing to put their name out there denying it when they know it's true, you know. But did they? So how did they write that up? Did they let you know, or did you find that from researching that about that's the only amount of scientists that even put their name on that?
You can find it in their full length of the report, which most people didn't publish, you know. So
well, right, that's what I'm
again,
saying, right. See,
they don't want that part.
I wouldn't
know
that.
Yeah, so it's we're down to 16%, just over 16% even responded. And again, no mention of the fact that the questions weren't asking about climate engineering or solar radiation management. They're asking about chemtrails, which is a non-science term to begin with. I mean, the whole study couldn't be more skewed. And Evelyn, think about this. Again, the man who produced that study, Ken Caldera, from Stanford University and works with Carnegie Science. I have an audio tape, which your listeners can hear, if they go to that Geoengineering Watch article, on which is the dismantling of this disinformation article, they can hear the author of that article stating on the record his job for the government at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories was to figure out ways to spray pathogens into clouds from aircraft to contaminate the population below.
Really?
In his own words.
How long ago was that? When was that tape made?
That was recorded about a decade ago, but he was referring to his employment with Lawrence Livermore, which was about a decade before that. So you can hear him in his own words, and I got that recording from a Pacifica radio announcer. It was never aired, but I got it, and I aired it.
Really?
And so that's what we're dealing with. You can see David Keith, these guys who deny that there's any aluminum coming down on us, when we have them on the record in exchange with me and him at an international conference where he's stating on the record the goal of putting 20 million tons a year into the atmosphere. So it's so utterly absurd at this point that this kind of denial is happening. This piece was so shoddily done that it really is going to backfire in a bigger way. The power structure is desperate. We're close to getting this issue on the radar. Our legal efforts are moving forward. I think we have a lot of friends behind the curtain. So, and the environmental dismantling or disintegration, it's happening at such blinding speed, Evelyn, that there's a lot of headlines that can't be hidden for much longer.
Yeah, it is scary to me. Tell the listeners more about these lawsuits that you are filing. I know in Canada you filed one last year, was it? And then the 60-day notices were filed a month ago or so?
It was earlier this year. It was about Canada was about March, I think. 60-day notice was about 3 weeks ago now. So the Canada suit is progressing, although slowly. There's some efforts by the government there to slow it down, but it's still moving forward. And in the U.S., the 60-day notice, which gives legal notice to all potential defendants. And any of your listeners can look at that as well. They just need to search. They can find it on geoengineeringwatch.org, or they can search geoengineering legal action. Should come up with something. And I would encourage them to look at that.
What do these legal notices tell the government and tell these agencies? What is it specifically are you telling them?
It tells them they may be defendants in a lawsuit that's coming.
Okay.
It puts them on legal notice.
And does it give them the opportunity to knock off this geoengineering before you file a lawsuit?
It does, but we all know that's not going to happen. But the point is with legal action, so people understand, it's about reaching a critical mass of awareness. We understand the court system is rigged, fixed, and at some point they could just play the national security card and shut the whole thing down. But it doesn't matter. If the public wakes up and if our military brothers and sisters wake up to what they're a part of, we need them to wake up as fast as possible, then at that point, the game changes at that moment. When the populations around the globe, when this can't be hidden, and every human being alive knows that they, their children, have all been irreparably damaged without their knowledge or consent, I would argue the game changes right then.
Right. Okay, now when you file the lawsuits, what is it going to be to file the lawsuits against them for doing this stuff?
Well, again, there's aspects of legal action that I'll have to wait to let the attorneys disclose. And they have a little bit of a muzzle on me in that regard too, because they're still working on things.
Sure.
But the full 60-day is very enlightening, and if you haven't read it, I would recommend it. It's a 30-page notice.
No, didn't you get an answer back from Mrs. McNutt or something from one of the agencies?
We did, and a couple things happened from that. In fact, we confirmed something that we're trying to, confirm that again right now. That a geoengineeringwatch.org site is filtered out of government computer systems, so they can't just get right on and find it, because she couldn't either. So that's pretty typical. I mean, there's a lot of things filtered out from government systems, so military can't get at it and so forth. Now, next, from the same day that our press release went out on the 60-day notice, I heard from she's the president of the National Academy of Sciences, Marcia McNutt. Heard from her within hours. And if your listeners read that transcript from her first sort of ridiculing, mocking, not taking this issue seriously, in the course of 2 hours, when I messaged her back and said, thank you for making your position clear as in such a prominent position that you either, one, have no clue, or two, you're not telling the truth. And I CC'd that to our attorney's team, and my mistake, I didn't remind them to take her off of that thread. So she was accidentally included in a couple threads of the attorney's team discussing her amongst themselves. And by the third message, because she knew that a real team of attorneys was focused on her at that moment, by her third message, completely different demeanor, completely different attitude. And so,
well, yeah, but tell them what the flippant remark she made when she wrote you first.
It was some sort of a ridiculing. The full statement's there in the article. I can't recall it off the top of my head, but
like
something
it wasn't
like
happening though, like it's not happening.
Yeah, total denial. And so anyway, by the third statement, again, a completely different demeanor. I better look into this, you know, something along those lines. So the knowledge of this coming out is starting to filter through the ranks, and people, I think, on the inside are starting to consider that if the public wakes up, that everyone who has participated, and this can include journalists, media outlets, all those who have helped to hide the truth, become accessories to the crime, and at some point, hopefully, held on trial, like the Nuremberg trials. The public will go ballistic when they find out this is going on. Go ballistic.
Yeah, I mean, when I found out about this 1 month ago, I found out about a lot of other things, too, and I'm telling you, for about a week, I was just out of it. I mean, I kept hoping I would wake up, and this was all a nightmare. This stuff isn't happening.
Yeah. It's pretty...
I didn't wake up.
It's hard to fathom that things could be this far off the rails, but they are. They are.
Yeah.
And those who think... My effort will be to wake those who think they can go on about their lives and, you know, go to the afternoon soccer games and baseball games, and this will all go away. It's not going to go away. It's here. It's kicking in the front door right now. It's here. But that we could wake up tomorrow and find out that our world just went upside down because the power structure is extremely dangerous right now. The Western power structure, especially the U.S., is maneuvering and provoking China and Russia toward World War III.
Yeah.
And that's their last card. That's their last card, global conflict. And it's up to us to keep that from happening. It's up to us. It's not up to somebody else. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to do something. And I know a lot of anti-geoengineering, quote, activists that are sitting on the sidelines waving their pom-poms toward me and others. That's not going to get the job done. It's up to all of us. All of us have to carry this ball forward.
Right. Well, one
you're doing your part right now. You're doing your part. When you're giving this issue a voice, and we need other people, and what they don't realize they can do from their home computer, share credible data, email credible data.
Right.
We put somebody on the spot, and I'm going to put the post I put up hopefully tomorrow on the Record Search Letter, Northern California newspaper, and it's an unimaginably damning post from this so-called editor. You know, I'm looking at it right now. She says here that, she says, Mr. Wigington had his chance to discuss concerns with our reporter who called him, but for the most part, he didn't say much. That's an outright lie. I gave every single fact to the reporter, none of which he reported, and this is typical from them. And so the bottom line is, when we post editors like this, and we post their public contacts, we need people to contact them. Contact them and let them know what you think, but do it articulately, professionally, firmly, and send credible data. And let them know that it's not okay, and that you hope this issue is brought to light so that they can be put on trial for being accessory to the crime. You can say things like that. That's not a threat. That's a reality. That's a reality. When we have people willfully hiding the truth, that we're in a position to know it, we're told it, we're shown it, whether it's an agency official or a reporter, at some point they're considered accessories to the crime. And they should be reminded of that.
Right. You know, send me that article on that study. I know, because you have it handy. And then do you have it handy, too, that what you said that guy said on tape 10 years ago?
It's all in the one post. Yeah, there's all those things are in the one post. Let me make sure I have your... Yeah, I got your Evelyn or your email right here, Evelyn.
Yeah,
I'll send all that through to you.
Sure. Yeah, because I'm thinking I might write an article on this, and I don't know. In the alternative media, I don't see that much about chemtrails and geoengineering either. But I'll tell you what I'll do. If I write this article, if I send it to them and offer them to it for free, if they can publish it, usually they will. I mean, that's what I did throughout 2000 to about 2007, from 2003 to about 2008. My vaccine articles, nobody would publish about the autism and stuff. So I sent them to them free, and they published some other articles on war profiteering, things like this. So they published those articles. And I think with the chemtrails and geoengineering, if I did it like that, if I just wrote one and sent it to them for free, that they'd publish it.
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, they won't appear, our media won't put anything in under any circumstances, even though they're really required. When they do a hit piece on you and they name you by name, they're really obligated to let you respond to that. And they're telling me flat out right now, no, I have no voice. This is a one-way door, and that's that. And so, you know, our attorney's team is looking at this right now to figure out, you know, the best approach. But the arrogance of those in media right now and their criminal behavior is truly shocking. Truly shocking.
Do you kind of feel like Andy Wakefield?
Certainly. I mean,
You're getting to that point where they
get
hammered.
I get pounded a lot, but you know, I'm kind of the punching bag. But you know what? The bottom line is they're not going to be laughing for long. Not for long. This stuff's coming to light. Period. So they're just digging themselves holes. Period. That's all there is to it. But we need people to help in this effort, and everyone can make a big difference. That's what people need to realize, that they can, if they reach the right person and trigger the right landslide of awakening in whatever area they're in, that could be the difference for the whole equation. It's all about critical mass of awareness, and everybody can play a part in that.
Exactly. And like your attorneys, they're working pro bono on this, right?
Yes, but there's still expenses, again. And that's
what I wanted to tell readers, that, you know, that if you can, please donate to this, because, yes, the attorneys can work pro bono, but I'm telling you, the cost of litigation, as far as, you know, filing and as far as taking research and depositions and things, that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, these pro bono attorneys can't absorb these costs, so anybody that can, please donate to this cause, to this legal action, because this is the most positive thing I've seen happen thus far since I've been investigating this, is those lawsuits that they get filed, because that's a concrete solution there, that we might be able to stop this.
Exactly, and even for, again, on the helping us with the effort, and even aside from the resources, just helping from someone's own home computer, helping us to sound the alarm, that's the most important help we could get. And even though, you know, depositions and so forth alone could cost $50,000 for this kind of proceeding, so there is a lot of cost. But for those who don't have resources to help, that's fine. It's, you know, just help us by sounding the alarm. Just help us sound the alarm.
Do it on Facebook like I do.
Yep.
Spread it out to all your friends.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Dane.
Thank you, Ellen.
I hope you'll come on soon again, because I know you're busy. But
my pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Well, people, I hope you learned a lot today, and I hope you learned that you've got to get this message out. I'm telling you, life on this planet is almost over if we don't stop this. So, thanks for tuning in, and I'll hear from you next week. Goodbye.